Today is about God's goodness. I want to share something with you, because when I was asking the Lord, well, Alistair asked me if I would do the word today, and I wasn't very keen, because I thought, I didn't think I had anything, you know, but I just sought the Lord, and the Lord gave me three things, and I really didn't know which way to jump. One was his goodness. One was about Israel, because we've just come back from there, and the other was about our hearts, the state of the heart of the church. And I just wrestled with it for a few days, but I felt the Lord lead me in this direction to talk about the goodness of God today. And what I want to say before we pray, because I'm going to ask the Lord to come and really deliver this message to you, because I don't want it to come from me, I want it to come from him. Amen. And the goodness of God, that song says, it will chase after you. It will chase after you. Can you imagine that? God loves you so much that he will chase after you with his goodness all the days of your life. That's some message from God, isn't it? So what I want to say is this, that many of you might have been struggling over the summer months, A, with the heat, B, with health issues. I've met so many people that are on medication for different kinds of illnesses and sicknesses. And many of those medications themselves make people depressed because, you know, they are messing about with your system. But God's goodness, when it comes, will chase out all those things if you believe it. So it's about faith as well, isn't it? It's about having faith in who he is and what he wants to do in your life. And maybe sometimes you don't feel, I'm not worth it. You know, I'm not worth it. But God says, oh yes, you are. I went to the cross just for you. And he would not have wasted his time if you were not worth it. God is saying every one of you are worth it. If you were the only person on the earth, he would have died for you so your sins could be forgiven and he could come and change your life forever. That's an amazing thing. And if nothing else, how can you not believe in God's goodness after that? After the work of the cross, how can we not believe in his goodness? And you have to remember that the goodness is chasing after you. It's chasing after you in your life. Sometimes we're just totally unaware of it. We're unaware of the fact that God's all around us. He's chasing after us because we are his children. And he's not going to let us go. He's not going to let you be anybody else's child. You're going to be his child eternally, forever. So let's just pray. And ask God to come and deliver the anointing that's required on the Word of God, that you will understand and fully accept and receive the goodness of God in your life, to chase those cobwebs out, to chase the sickness away, to chase your, perhaps your poverty situation. Maybe there's things you're crying out to God for. Well, let's just realize now that when the goodness of God comes, it's full of everything you need, absolutely everything. And you just have to lift your faith to believe for it and see that he wants to give you the best for your life. Amen. So, Father God, we just come to you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you went to the cross on behalf of every single person, every mother, every father, every uncle, every aunt, every father and mother, every grandparent, every child, every unborn baby, you went to the cross for us. Because, Lord, you made this beautiful earth for us to live in, and you didn't want us to be living under struggles. You wanted us to know the goodness of God. So I ask, Father, for this message of your goodness, Father, to flow from the Spirit of God today. I pray for an open heaven over Mercerham, over this church, that the Spirit of God can flow in this place and bring your goodness to every person, every family, every situation, in the name of Jesus. And all the people said, amen. Amen. So we're in agreement, are we? Yes. Now I'm going to start by telling you something that happened in the church, and I might have told you this before, but God told me to tell it again, because some of you haven't heard it, and some of you maybe didn't believe it, or maybe you didn't even really listen. But I'm going to demonstrate what I saw in church one day. And I'll tell you what happened. It was a time when our pastors were away and the junior pastors were looking after the service. And sometimes when it's like that, people come in and they think, oh, it's only them. Do you know what I mean? And they don't have such a big expectation, because they think that God's going to be different if the main pastor's speaking, and he's not going to be so strong if the junior pastors are speaking. What utter rubbish. Sometimes it's the junior pastors that bring something which absolutely transforms someone's life. Anyway, the songs had all been chosen, like they had this morning, and we sang all the right songs that were on the list. And then the girl who was leading worship just had it in her heart to start singing in the Spirit. And she started to sing about the goodness of God. She wasn't singing that song, but she was singing from her heart about the goodness of God. And as she did so, the whole place perked up. It was as if God was saying, wake up, all of you. My goodness is here, whoever is on the platform. My goodness is here for every one of you, whoever you are. And she sang with all her heart. And as she did, I closed my eyes and I saw a vision. And I'm going to demonstrate to you this vision, because I think it's important. And when you have a vision and you can demonstrate it, sometimes it remains in your heart as a kind of image, which sometimes God will take you back to, so you don't lose your faith on what he's saying to you. Is that okay? So I'm going to ask Alistair to come, because what I saw was a man walking towards me. I couldn't see, he was coming from a long distance. It seemed a long distance. I couldn't see his face. I couldn't see anything about him really, except I knew it was a man and he was walking towards me. As he got closer to me, I could see that he was dressed in a prayer shawl. Now, I don't know if you know what a prayer shawl is either. One to show you. This is what the priests wear. Oops, sorry. This is what the priests wear when they're ministering in Israel. Can you hear me if I don't talk with the microphone? No. And this is a very nice one that Alistair and I were given some years ago. And I'm going to put it on him as I saw it on this man. If you all turn round and look at him coming towards you, you all have an idea of what I saw. Okay, so can you see his features and his face? You can't, can you? All right, and as he comes closer, what do you notice? You notice the shawl. And what does the shawl represent? Well, In the Bible, it says that the Holy Spirit is at the right hand of the Father praying 24 hours a day for us. And the prayer shawl represents being wrapped up in God. That's why the priests minister in a prayer shawl in Israel. It's a symbol of being wrapped up in God. And a lot of the young couples that get married, on their wedding night, they borrow the prayer shawl and they put it over the bed as a symbol that they will be wrapped up in God all the days of their married life. And it's very, very powerful. And we have actually done that in our church when we've married people. We've lent them the prayer shawl if they wanted it, so that they too could demonstrate that together they're serving the Lord. So anyway, this is what I saw. And then as I looked, I mean, I'm going to come back here now. It's hot, yes, it's hot. You can hold on to that if you like. Thank you. There are lots of things I could teach you about the prayer shawl. Every stitch in it, every thread in it means something. It's all biblical. It's an amazing piece of woven cloth, and it's similar in a way to the robe that Jesus would have worn, which, you know, was made all in one piece that could not be destroyed, and the soldiers wanted to tear it up and have a piece each, but they couldn't. They could not, because it represented God himself. So we're talking about the goodness of God, and let's have a look at some scriptures now, because I've just taken, I think, four, maybe five, that Paul has been writing some of these things. Hello, come on in if you'd like to. Who'd like to go and get those kids in? So, yeah, let's go to Romans chapter 14. And verse 17. Now, thank you, Alex. One step ahead of me. See that word righteousness there? In some of the translations, the word is goodness. So let's just have a look at it. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. You know how people argue about whether you should eat this or you shouldn't eat that. And God's saying, forget all that. You eat according to what you feel. But what matters is, let's use the word righteousness there as goodness, but The kingdom is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Which word came first? Goodness, goodness, righteousness, yes. Goodness. Because God is good, isn't he? God is good. There's nothing bad about him. So if you go to the New Living Translation, you'll find it with the word goodness written in there. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what you eat or drink. Don't let's argue about that. Paul was discussing that argument with the church, and he was saying, don't bother arguing about it. The kingdom is much more important. And the kingdom is about God's goodness, God's righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? So you see that God himself is good, and when he permeates something, when he comes into his church and he soaks into your heart, what is it he's putting in you all the time? It's goodness. It's his goodness. And his goodness, when it's in your heart, will not stay there, because you'll want to give it out to somebody else. And that's what's happening, isn't it? That the church has come to a place where we want to reach people. We want other people to know of his goodness. So what does God do? He chases after you to fill you again and again and again with more goodness, so that you can go out further and further afield. And then in Psalm 145, verse 7, it's talking about the church, and it's saying, they, us, will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. We will celebrate God's goodness. It's a celebration every time we get together to celebrate how good he is. It's not a time really for us to come together and, you know, start bringing into the church, I've had such a bad week, this happened and that happened and I haven't felt very well. It's time to put those things in a prayer request, quietly, but it's a time to focus on him, because his goodness is coming again to push out those things. And if we come in faith to believe it, we will see things change. We will see a mighty move of God coming across the earth in his church. And then Isaiah 63 and verse 7b. This translation is slightly different to mine. Let's read the whole thing. I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he's done for the house of, in this case, the house of Israel, you could say, has done for Merstham Baptist Church, yeah? According to his compassion and many kindnesses. In my version, in the New Living Translation, it says this. In the second part of the verse, it says, I will rejoice in his great goodness, which he has granted according to his mercy and love. According to his mercy and love. You know, goodness and mercy always go together in the Bible. Have you noticed that? Because God's goodness is always to have mercy on us. If you go to him and say, Lord, I made such a mess up of this. I really, you know, should have done that and I didn't. What are you doing really? You're crying out for his mercy. How does he answer it? He answers it with his goodness. And he pushes out the mercy. He pushes out the sin. He pushes out the mess that you've made in order that his goodness can rest with you. Because he wants you resting in his goodness. He wants you to know that he's all around you in his goodness. No matter what I'm feeling, no matter what I'm saying, no matter what my mouth keeps letting out that I don't mean to, you know, no matter what kind of a mess I make of life, goodness of God is all around me because I am his child, and he's not going to let me stay like this. He's going to keep pursuing me with his goodness until goodness floods all of us and the world will see that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And the one scripture you must never forget, I want you to memorize this. Go to Psalm 23. You all know Psalm 23. Verse 6. What does it say? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me every day of my life. Surely. What does surely mean? It's certain. It has to be certain because God has said it. And it is God we're talking about. He is with me. He is for me. He is in me. He is my God. His goodness cannot leave me. It cannot. I can behave in a way which isn't terribly good, but God's goodness hasn't left me. Because God's goodness is in my spirit. God's goodness, when I let it go, is me messing about in the soul. And Jesus has come to save my soul. It's the soul that's the problem. It's always fighting with God, isn't it? But it doesn't matter. God knows that. And that's why his goodness is all around us. That's why his goodness and mercy is flowing out to us. That's why he sent us a message like this today to say, fear not. My goodness is pouring out into this church, is pouring out into your life. It is chasing after you. And that's that song that we just heard those guys singing that was chasing after him, chasing after us. And so I just want you to grab that today. I just want you to hold on to that. It's a simple message. That's all there is to say. But I want you to bear the image of the guy, you know, the figure we saw coming towards us. And as he comes, he's raised high because he is our God. He's above us. You know, he's our Father in heaven. And yet, he reaches down to the earth with his prayer shawl, praying for all of us, and then opens his mouth to let the goodness of God flow into the church all the time. What an amazing picture that is. So, Alistair, would you come, and so we can sing that chorus together. And if anybody wants to come up afterwards and have some prayer for the goodness of God and feel that, you know, God can do something more, please feel free to do so.
Amen.